All right, brothers and sisters, thank you again for joining in to our study today in the ABCs of Christian Growth. And this will be our second recording, our second study or class concerning the letter S, the third study in the letter S. And we're studying the topic of sin and what the Bible has to say about sin and what our Lord wants us to know and to think about sin. Have you ever really just sat down and thought about sin and thought about yourself? I mean, if you're a Christian, have been a Christian for any amount of time, and I say, nowadays there can be some Christians that probably could go through their entire life the way that so much deceit is in the world now, but could go through their entire life and not know things in the Scriptures. But if you've had any training or Bible training and been in the Scriptures and read them, then you know that there's something wrong with you. And anybody that's honest, anybody that's an honest person, would have to confess that. And when you boil it all the way down, man's not getting better. When it comes to being a human being and being in this body and being born into this world, there's something wrong with us. There's something that is part of us that's not supposed to be there, that is trouble to us. And that is sin. We have an Adamic nature and we are cursed. And the Lord cursed, we'll get into that on another study, but we have something wrong with us. And that is a sin nature. It's not something that we do. It's not something that we muster up or something that comes upon us. It's who we are. It's not what you do. It's what you are, you see. And that's not good news. I don't like that. I don't like being a sinner. I don't like this nature. And the more you learn about it, the more you learn that you don't like it either. That is, if you love God. This is study number 19B, and we're talking about sin. And just to recap just a little bit, we had our introduction on the last recording, and we talked about that sin is known as hamartiology. And like I said, there's some. That's the only big word I think we'll use in this study. But I just wanted to let you know, so maybe you could jot it down, and you could, as we go through the other ones, like salvation and man and all these different things, they have a name for them like that. And maybe you want to jot them down. Maybe you don't, and that's fine too. But we talked about how many times the Scripture mentions sin and it being more than it does salvation. The Bible talks more about sin in both the New Testament and the Old Testament concerning sin as it does salvation. Almost twice as much. You could take every book in the Old Testament, or every book in the New Testament, and sin, if you averaged them out, sin would be mentioned at least four times in every book. That's quite a bit. And it's something that obviously the Holy Ghost did not want us to forget as we read through God's Word. And there are some books that have mentioned it much more than other books. And as we go over this, we'll see that. Okay, well, beginning today, we talked about the definitions of sin, old and new definitions. We found out that people don't want to admit, through definition, that is, people don't want to admit what sin used to be back in 1800s, and 1828 dictionary, reading about that. It's kind of toned down a little bit now. Oops, I made a goof. Oops, I made a boo-boo, things like that. Instead of a faux pas, you know. And I have a fault, things like that. And I made a serious mistake, You didn't sin. You made a serious mistake. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you see how the world is starting to try to deceive or change. I mean, they're doing it with these new Bibles. They're changing things around to where the meaning and the text scripture with scripture anymore. I mean, the Bibles that they're putting out, so-called Bibles that they're putting out, you can't match scripture with scripture and get the true truth of it. You can't get it down to the root of what God meant anymore, because they're changing things up and changing the words and stuff. And the devil knows what he's doing, and he knows who he's doing it through, and they know who are letting him do it through and why. So just don't let that be us. We'll use our King James Bible, and it's been faithful to us, and the Lord has already shown me that. The Holy Ghost should have already shown you that, what God's Word is, and if He hasn't, and you have a question in your mind or in your heart, then sincerely go to prayer and ask the Lord to show you what His Word is. And when He does show it to you, don't question it, and nail it down, and don't ever ask again. And know that that is God's Word, okay? Because God the Holy Ghost won't lie to you about it. The thing we're going to go in today, the topic we're going to start with today, is the first mention of sin in the Scriptures. Where was the first mention of sin? Well, talking about it, we would think a first mention would be in Genesis, and you would be right. You would be right in Genesis chapter 4, as a matter of fact, and verse 3 through 8. But maybe it's not through the person that you would have thought it would have mentioned sin and said the word sin and who the sin was about. Let's read it and see. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 through 8 says, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" So the Lord is given a case right here to where Cain didn't have the right intentions when he came to the Lord with this offering. "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." There's your first mention of sin in the Scriptures. The Lord Himself brought it up. The Lord Himself said the word. The Lord Himself spoke to a human being about this matter of sin, and the first person was Cain. Okay, and "unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Excuse me. "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." "And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field..." I think there's something in that verse that's not supposed to be there. I might have accidentally put it. But anyway, "And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him." Now we see the first murder in the Scriptures. The very first family on this earth, after God's creation and the fall of man, we see two things come up. First thing is that they bring offerings to the Lord. One of them is a good offering that the Lord accepts, and one of them is a bad offering, which the Lord does not accept. And because of that, Cain slew Abel out of envy, probably, and slew him and picked up a rock and killed him. He planned it, and he did it, and followed through with it, and killed his brother. He killed his brother, murdered him. So we see what the very first time sin is mentioned is the Lord. The Lord said that sin lieth at the door. He didn't say that he had anything to do with sin, that the Lord was sinful. We know better than that. But we know that he was talking to Cain about some sin being at the door. In other words, in his heart. In his heart. Sin lieth at the door. And because the Lord probably nailed him down, nailed him to the wall, the floor right there, and said, I know what's the matter with you, and I know why you brought that offering you brought. And he said, sin lieth at the door. And because of that, Cain got mad. And because he got mad, he envied his brother because the Lord accepted him, and he went and murdered him and killed him. But we see also the fruit of sin right out of the beginning, right out of the gate. The horses, the bell rings and the horses take off, and here comes sin, and what comes out? Murder. Murder and envy. The very first thing, who can stand before envy? And the Lord Jesus says, thou shalt do no murder. And there's the first fruit off of the first time sin is mentioned in the Scripture. Isn't that something? And it hadn't stopped yet, has it? Hadn't stopped yet. You know, the first mention of sin in the Scriptures is by the Lord while he was addressing Cain. Cain and Abel brought these offerings to him, and the Lord accepted Abel's and his offering and rejected Cain's and had no respect for him and his offering. The way the Lord put it for the first mention is sin. Sin, sin. So whatever this sin is something that had to do with Cain's intention and his offering when he came before a holy God. This is the difference of being respected by the Lord and not respected by him. God says sin has to do with the intent of a man's approach with him or to him, and whether it will turn out well or whether it will not turn out well. We've seen that with Cain and Abel right there. The next thing to happen in the Scriptures having to do with sin was the first murder. Cain murdered his brother Abel. And we see that right there we read in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3 through 8. So you see, sin has a terrible beginning in the Scriptures, and the Lord himself is the first one to call something concerning a man's sin. That's not all. The Lord also says that Lucifer sinned. And because of this, it is kind of like the beginning of the end of him. And being according to the words of the Lord himself. That being according to the word the Lord said himself that he was going to end Satan. But the Lord said that Lucifer sinned. Where did he say that? Well, he said it in Ezekiel chapter 28. The Bible says in verse 13 there, beginning at verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone. Listen to the description of Satan. His name was Lucifer then, until it got changed to Satan. But listen to the description of this being. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. The only two other people that you, or three other people that you know of, or three other individuals that were in that garden that the Scriptures mention, do you know who they were? Well, one was Adam, and one was Eve, and one was the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself. He walked with them, remember? He walked with them. So we see, of course, that was the Word. Jesus was not named Jesus until he was born in the flesh. Before that, he was called the Word of God. The Word of God. We'll get into more of that. That's some interesting study, too, right there. But thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. He's talking about a creature. He says he's got all these, he's made up of all these precious stones. He's made up of, this is his makeup. We're born and the Lord created us and we have flesh, bones, and all our guts and things like that. But this creature has precious stones. A sapphire and emerald and carbuncle and gold. And it says the workmanship of his tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. He has musical instruments, musical instruments as part of his makeup. Isn't that interesting? Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. A truth right there you should notice that Lucifer is not an angel. He's a cherub. He's a cherub. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Now, he's not a cherub now. He's a dragon right now. Thou art anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, his makeup, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Now that's what God said. There he prophesied right there that that's what's going to happen to Lucifer. And according to the scriptures, as we read and study and compare scripture with scripture, we find out that that is indeed what's going to happen to him. He's going to end up in the lake of fire. He ain't there yet. Right now he's walking to and fro in the earth, up and down in it, and seeking whom he may devour. Wants to take you out. And if he can, he will. But not until God says he can. But I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? But, you know, as you'll see in these approaching topics that we have, that we're going to talk about, these topics about sin, sin is more than a generalization in the Scripture. God the Holy Ghost has the writers of the Bible to itemize sin and define what he's talking about, not only in the law of the Old Testament, but surprisingly abundant in the New Testament. Now, what's that tell you? He doesn't just call sin, sin. He names the sins and itemizes them. We find that, now I'm going to give you these, if you got a pencil handy, just like those scriptures that I give you, the chapters, I hope you read them, but the chapters, 1 John and Matthew chapter 15 and James 4 and 2 Corinthians 5, if you remember, I want to give you some additional ones here. We're not going to read the whole chapters because I don't want to take up that much time on our recording here. We will read the chapters throughout the study, but not right this minute. Let me give them to you, though. You ready? But in the New Testament, sin is itemized. God doesn't, you're going to see that as we get through these topics, that sin is more than just a generalization, and that's what the world's trying to do with sin right now, just generalize it. Pipe it down, cool it off, smooth it out, where there's not such a burr to it when it comes up. It don't stick anybody, you know, and there's no condemnation in it. It's, oops, I made a boo-boo, you know, that kind of stuff. But here's the scriptures. These are all chapters in some books. The first one is Exodus chapter 20. Now, this is all having to do with the subject of sin. Mark chapter 7. Romans chapter 1, you'll find that the book of Romans is going to, and Corinthians is going to be, and of course Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians, and Colossians, and Timothy, and stuff like that. Let me give them to you. Romans chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I think that was one of the first ones, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Galatians chapter 5, and I think that was, Ephesians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 3, and another one is 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now, all of these have to do with our subject of sin and the topic of sin and itemizing sin. And you'll see when you read these that the Lord doesn't generalize anything. When Paul mentions these things and they're in his books, he doesn't say, well, just don't sin. He says, don't lie. He itemizes it. Don't commit fornication. The Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself, not love thy neighbor's wife. Adultery. He names them, itemizes them. See? So whatever the sin is, it's itemized in the scriptures. It's not generalized. I mean, it does talk about sin in general, but when it's given definition and explanation, it's itemizing sin. It's telling you what sin is. You see? Now, there's things. When broken, there are consequences. You'll read that as you read these chapters. There's consequences. God's laws, man's laws, and nature's laws. Any kind of laws, when you violate them laws, there's consequences. In nature's laws, the law of gravity, you go up on top of a building and jump off the building, you're going to pay for breaking that law. Gravity is going to pull you to the ground and break your neck. If you break nature's laws, you're going to pay for it. There are laws. Man's laws, you run a stop sign, the police catches you, and you run a stop sign, you're going to pay a big fine for it. You're speeding, you're going to get a speeding ticket. You kill somebody, you're going to get prison time. You break the laws, there's consequences. Now, why wouldn't you think that if you break God's laws, that there wouldn't be consequences? There are consequences. If there's consequences with man's laws and nature's laws, and you can't deny that, then why wouldn't there be consequences with God's laws, the Creator? There is. There is consequences. Okay, well, continuing on, that's not all. We'll go into our next topic. That was the topic of the first mention of sin, so we understand where sin began. And it could have been mentioned before that, but the Lord did not tell us about that. The earliest mention of sin was with Cain and with Lucifer, in the scriptures, that is. So what is sin? What is sin? How's the Bible scripturally define or describe sin? Well, the first thing is that the Bible says it's coming short of the glory of God. Coming short of the glory of God is sin. In other words, it doesn't give God glory and it does not present itself as being worthy of being in God's presence. It's coming short of the glory of God. How do you know that? Well, the Bible says in Romans in chapter 3 and verse 23, and you probably know that by heart, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Come short of the glory of God. I've heard people explain that about missing the mark. You miss the mark. Like trying to shoot at a bullseye and you don't hit it. And you missed it. And you didn't get it exactly without sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All right, what else is sin? What is sin? It's coming short of the glory of God. Another thing is the transgression of the law of God is sin. You say, well, what is sin? Coming short of the glory of God. The transgression of the law of God is sin. Does the Bible say that? Why, yes, it does. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, whosoever committeth sin, so sin is something that you can commit, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. Why? Or how do you know that? For sin is the transgression of the law. So anytime you transgress God's law, and we spoke about that, anytime you break a law, you're going to pay consequences. But what is breaking the law? Breaking the law is classified as sin. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. There's no mystery in sin. Sin has a definition and a description. It's coming short of the glory of God. And it is the transgression of the law. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, and we read that, 1 John chapter 3, chapter 3 and verse 4, like we said, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. What else? Not only coming short of the glory of God, not only the transgression of the law of God, but all unrighteousness is sin. Now, is that what the Bible says? So far, we see that the Scriptures did say that the glory of God is sin, or the coming short of the glory of God is sin, and the transgression of the law is sin, but all unrighteousness is sin. If it's unrighteous, it's sin. Unrighteousness, the committal of it, the committing of it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, let's read that. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death. All unrighteousness is sin. So you can't mistake that. That's just as plain as the nose on your face, isn't it? See, the Scriptures, I don't know how people can read over the Scriptures and not understand this matter of sin or not see sin in the Scriptures. That's why there's a whole bunch of dusty Bibles in people's houses set up on the shelf and hadn't been used for 20 years or moved for 20 years. You see, because that Bible knows you and it tells you about yourself. But whenever you mean business with the Lord and you love the Lord, you'll get in that book and you'll let the Lord tell you what's going on about you, and you'll want to correct those things and want to do the things that are pleasing in the Lord's sight. But when it comes to sin, that Bible is not embarrassed to tell you one bit about what sin is. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Okay, what else? Well, sin is knowing to do good and doing it not. Now, does the Bible say that? Why, yes, it does. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Isn't that interesting? Did you ever see that before? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, he had it right when he said, for all have sinned, didn't he? Because he got me on that one. He sure did. Got me on all of them, as a matter of fact. But to get you on that one? He wasn't trying to get you. He was just trying to inform you. We've all done something to where we know better The Bible says, happy is the man that condemneth not himself and that thing which he alloweth. In other words, if you want to be happy, then don't do what you know better to do. And you turn around and do it anyway. Happy is the man that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. In other words, don't have to say, I wish I hadn't done that. But the Bible calls it sin. If you know better and you do it anyway, it's sin. It is sin. What else? Not just knowing to do good and doing it anyway, but the thought of foolishness. The thought of foolishness. Well, if he don't get us on the top, he'll get us on the bottom, doesn't he? That book knows us. The thought of foolishness. Man, I'm lucky to get by 15 minutes without something foolish trying to pop in my head. Are you? You might go 16, huh? The thought of foolishness is sin. Is sin. Proverbs chapter 24, the Bible says, and verse 9, excuse me, the thought of foolishness is sin. And the scorner is an abomination to men. The thought of foolishness is sin. That's what the scripture says. Must be true. And if we told the truth in our hearts, we know that it is, isn't it? Thinking foolish things and imaginations and sitting there and entertaining foolish thoughts is sinful, and it ends up being sinful, doesn't it? But the Lord said, just the thought of foolishness is sin. Aren't you glad that the Lord said, to confess our sins, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Throughout a period of a day, how many times do you think that you've thought of something foolish? And if you have, and then forgotten it. In other words, you go through the day and you think of something foolish and then you forget it and it just goes away and you never confess it as sin or you never talk to God about it. You just kind of forget about it because it's so common in our minds and in this world today. But the Lord said that if we confess our sins, when we confess the ones that we know about, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, plural, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He not only forgives the ones that you confess because you're confessing them, but he forgives all the other ones, too, that you forgot, and cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And don't we have a wonderful Lord? The thought of foolishness is sin. What else? Well, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, the Bible says. Did you know there was that many things that is sin? Not only a thought of foolishness, but whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Does the scripture say that? Why, yes, it does. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So whenever we don't exercise faith, the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. We walk by faith, not by sight. We believe God because of what he says in his word, not because we see him. The Lord told, Thomas, he said, because thou hast seen, thou believest. And what was the other thing he said along with that? Blessed are those that have not seen and believe. That's faith. You don't have any proof. The only proof you have is that God has testified in your heart enough to where you believe him and you know that he's true and you believe him just because he said who he is and you choose to believe him. That's faith. You believe him because you want to, not because you got proof or you have to. Now, you do get proof, but it's faith. It's proof of faith. God shows you the more you believe him, the more you find out. The more you find out about the Lord, the more he shares with you. And that's true. Ask anybody that knows the Lord. Hadn't the Lord showed you more since you've exercised more faith in him? Hasn't he? Sure he has. So, what is sin? Well, I thought we'd be done by now, but we're not. Coming short of the glory of God is sin. The transgression of the law is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. Knowing to do good and doing it not is sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. My, oh my. Here's another one. A high look and a proud heart. And the plowing of the wicked is sin. Does the Bible say that? I'm not telling you what Thurman thinks. I wouldn't put these things down. You know, because I'm just about running 100% right now. I'm guilty of these things. But praise God for his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that wonderful? Romans chapter 14, verse 22. That's the faith one that we did. All right. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 4. The Bible says, a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Is sin. What else? Having respect of persons is sin. Having respect of persons is sin. The Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse 9, but if you have respect of persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. If you have respect over one person over the other because of any kind of circumstance or any kind, somebody's wearing better clothes than somebody else, somebody got a bigger nose than somebody, so just anything, have respect of persons. Now you want to talk about equality, and the world thinks they're equal and they want equality and they want everything relative and let's all just come together. Well, they're sure not showing it, are they? God shows equality. He said if you have respect of persons, you're a sinner. You're sinning. If you show one more favor than the other because of something, then you are sinning. We're supposed to treat everybody the way the Lord commands us to treat them. Love our neighbors, ourselves. Now, of course, when we get into the New Testament and we get into separation and get into sanctification and things like that, things are just a little bit different when he's talking to just the bride of Christ. And we'll get into some of that on the other ones. But when it comes down to sin, if you respect one person over the other, the Bible says you commit sin. Now, that's not says that you're supposed to accept the wicked or that you're supposed to have fellowship with ungodliness and wickedness. You see, there's some clauses in there, if you will. But when it comes to sin and just the foundation of sin, if you have respect of persons when you shouldn't, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. The law condemns you that you're a transgressor because you had respect of persons. That is sin. Having respect of persons. Is there any more? Moving right along. That's not all. What else is sin? Now, we're talking about what is sin. Rebellion and stubbornness is sin. You say the Bible says that? Yes, it does. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23, when he was talking to Saul, he said, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." The Bible says when you're rebellious, it is as the sin of witchcraft, the same thing as just as sinful as you were a witch and committing witchcraft and messing around with witchcraft. He said if you're stubborn, stubbornness is as the iniquity as iniquity and idolatry. Rebellion and stubbornness is sin. The Lord says it's as witchcraft and iniquity and idolatry. And you know how much God hates idolatry and iniquity and rebellion. Of course, we don't have any reason to rebel against our wonderful God. We have every reason to submit to Him and draw closer and nearer to Him. He's a wonderful God. What else? We're talking about, what's our topic? You remember? Scripturally, in the Bible, not what Brother Thurman thinks, not what you've heard, not what I've heard, not what Brother such and such said, not what the religious such and such and whomy hoey hoes and all them. What's the Bible say is sin? What is sin? Well, another one. Disobedience to God is sin. In Jeremiah, in chapter 40 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Now the Lord hath brought it and done according as he hath said, because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed his voice, therefore this thing is come upon you." Well, America could recite that. They're wondering how come all this trouble is. It's simple. It's very, very simple. Simple, simple, simple. It's not difficult. These things aren't no surprise. They've been coming. The Lord's been warning everybody. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And what is it? Disobedience? America used to be obedient to the Lord and used to love Him. But they turned up the heel and they turned the shoulder to Him. And the Lord says, "You don't want me? I don't want you." So when the Lord starts pulling out, then you see what the nature of man is really about. He starts taking each other out. And you have all these windows busted out and fires and stolen TVs and blabbity, 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 blab. "Now the Lord hath brought it and done according as he hath said, because ye have sinned against the Lord." How? "By, and have not obeyed his voice. Therefore this thing has come upon you." You know, there could be some problems in our lives, in your lives, just for the fact that you're being disobedient to the Lord. The Lord will bring trouble in your life. Their trouble will show up if you be disobedient to the Lord. It will. You can fish it out of the water yourself. When you're being disobedient, trouble comes from everywhere. By yourself, by the chastening of the Lord, by your enemy having a license to come and mess with you because you're messing around with things you shouldn't be messing around with. The Lord's even righteous with the devils. He's fair with the devils. If you're messing around with witchcraft, then devils that have to do with witchcraft have all the rights to you. You're messing around with drugs and dope, and devils that have to do with sorcery and witchcraft, they have all the rights to you. They have the right to stand before God and say, well, he's down there messing with dope. The Lord say, you're right. Of course, the Lord overrules him whenever we repent and makes him leave us alone. And his mercy endureth forever. But disobedience to God is sin. Is sin. We got several more, not a whole lot, but some more. What else? Backsliding is sin. What is that? Backsliding's going backwards from the progress you've already made. Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 7, the Bible says, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. Brother, sister, if you're in a backslidden state, all you have to do is tell God and get on your knees and tell the Lord everything that you know that's wrong with you and everything that you know that needs to be corrected, and tell him that you don't have any power to do it and that you've gone way too far and you've gone backwards and that you need help. And when you be sincere as you know how to be with it, and be willing to change, and the Lord will bring his power into your life and change things that need changing and help you out. You're talking to somebody that he's done it for several times. The Lord's been very kind to me. I can testify to you that if you mean business and you want out, be sincere with the Lord and as honest as you know how to be, and tell him what you did, how you did it, and what was in your heart when you did it, and tell him that what you was thinking, that you was careless and you didn't even think about God's opinion about it and didn't care. And tell him the truth. He already knows. He just wants you to confess it. And if you confess it, he will forgive you for it and cleanse you from all unrighteousness and get you out of that mess. And that's what you need to be. You need to be out of it. If you're a born-again Christian, you don't need to be out there with the world playing around being condemned with the world. You need to be on the Lord's side and exercising holiness and bragging on the Lord Jesus Christ and being loyal to your Lord. Backsliding is sin. What else? Well, speaking against God is sin. You say the Bible says that? Yeah. Of course, we all would think that would be common sense, that if anything was going to be sin through all the description that we've been talking about so far, you would think that speaking against God would be sin, wouldn't you? Of course, some of these nuts and these nutcases in the world today that they really need to be putting in the psych wards, that they're letting run around and giving rights to and stuff like that, coming up with all this nonsense that they're coming up with. they speak against God, and they speak boldly against God. But one day, they're going to die. And one day, the Scripture says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. But they're going to stand before a creator, a being that they have never seen before. They made all their movies and about what God should be and what they should look like and the powers that they have and blabbity, blabbity, blab. And they talked against the God of heaven and against the God of the Bible. They're going to meet him one day. So are you, and so am I. But we're going to meet him for different reasons. We're going to meet him with joy and loving him and admiring him. But they're going to meet him, and they're going to be terrified. They're going to shake in their skin. The same way that king shook when he seen that handwriting on the wall. Says he relieved himself. He was shaking so bad. Moses even said, he said, I exceedingly quake and fear. When he seen God, it was like being so scared. You know how your body is like you're being shocked. It just boom, 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 boom. And you're just being, you just quake. That's what Moses said when he seen him. Man is really stupid, isn't he? That he would talk about a creator or even mention. I remember in the days when I was young, listen to this. Whenever I was young and all the kids were standing around and all of us would be standing around just talking and yapping. You know how kids do and this and that and the other. And then some little kid would say, God, or say God's name in a blasphemous way or something like that. You know what all the other kids did then? Everybody put their hands over their mouth and went, and everybody backed up away from him like God was going to strike him dead. Was scared of that. It terrified everybody else to hear somebody else speak against God. Yeah, I remember those days. They're still true, whether people exercise them or feel that way or not. It's still true. The Bible says that we are to fear the Lord, and it even talks about the terror of the Lord. The terror of the Lord. Speaking against God. Numbers chapter 21. Listen to this. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. What was the sin? Speaking against the Lord. The people themselves called it sin. They spoke against the Lord and they recognized it after those serpents were in there biting them and that God sent to them. You don't want me, I'll send you some snakes. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. Speaking against God is sin. Is sin. What else? Despising one's neighbor. Despising one's neighbor. We're not to despise people. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 21. The Bible says, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. But he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Despising your neighbor is sin. We have one more. What's the Bible say is sin? Now, this is not a corporate thing of sin here. Everything that we're talking about right now is not the end of sin. There's a lot more things that are sinful, and you'll see that as we go through the scriptures, and you'll understand more about sin, but this portion of the script, of our study right here is more or less telling you that sin does exist. And things can be called sin. Speaking against God is sin. Backsliding is sin. Despising one's neighbor is sin. You see. So sin does exist, and it's showing us some examples of what is sin. And here's the last one for our study for today. Not believing in Jesus Christ as one Savior is sin. Now, who said that? Well, John did in chapter 8 and verse 24 of the book of John. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That's Jesus himself. Remember we talked about Jesus speaking about sins? There's one example. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. What is sin? Well, sin is not believing in Jesus Christ as one Savior. The Lord made, planned, carried out, executed, and prepared salvation for every man and woman and child. And to not receive Jesus Christ as your Savior is not only an insult to the Lord, it's going to get you put in the lake of fire. And it is sin. Jesus said, ye must be born again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. That's God telling you about something that absolutely, without question, needs to be done. And if you disobey that and don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is sin. So not believing in Jesus Christ as one Savior is sin. Despising one's neighbor is sin. Speaking against God is sin. Backsliding is sin. Disobedience to God is sin. Rebellion and stubbornness is sin. Having respect of persons is sin. A high look and a proud heart and a plowing of the wicked is sin. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin, the Bible says. The thought of foolishness is sin, and knowing to do good and doing it not is sin. All unrighteousness is sin, and the transgression of the law of God is sin. And coming short of the glory of God is sin. Wow! We're getting a little bit of clarity about sin now, aren't we? At least it's given us one look at it, of what sin is. What sin is. And we haven't said what Brother Thurman thinks or what the United Nations has written on the wall or any kind of craziness like that. We're talking about what the Scriptures say, scripturally. What is sin? Amen. All right, well, we'll stop right there. And that'll complete our lesson for today. And we've learned some valuable truths about some things that we need to think about when it comes to this matter of sin. And as we get into the study of sin and finding out what it is and getting into some depths of this description of sin. And so when we come out of this study, we'll know what sin is. And we'll know some things about it and its character and its personality and its traits and its the things of sin. All right, well, let me give you these scriptures for today. You ready? All right, here we go. We talked about, I give you all those chapters before, so we'll just start from there. We talked about the first mention of sin, and that's Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 through 8. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13 through 16. This is all going to be on recording, so if you miss something, you can always get it at the ministry site, Barnhouse Ministries. You can go there and it'll all be right there, the recording and all the lessons written on paper. Everything's on the ministry online there. So you're welcome to it. But everything we're talking about right here on this recording is on the site. So if you miss something, you can always get it. All right, and then we had after that, I think the last one I give you there was Ezekiel chapter 28. Okay, and then we had all the chapters that I give you there, and you would be good to read over those just as you have time to do it. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, excuse me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17. James chapter 4, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 9. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4. James chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 3. And then Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 7. Numbers chapter 21, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 21. And the last one for today's study is John, chapter 8, and verse 24. And there we go. Lots and lots of Scripture, and that's what we want. We want to compare Scripture with Scripture. And you want a copy of these, I mean, you're probably making a list if you are. If you're writing them down, you are. But I have everything that we're talking about right now. The very lesson that we're reading is I'm going right down the lesson plan on paper that we have put together there. And then all of the Scriptures go right along beside it, parallel to it, and they're on another sheets of paper in written form. So see, you could have both of these sitting right before you and listening and filling in the blanks, and they're all filling in the blanks too, where you can write it even. So I mean, you can really learn this stuff and really learn God's word by written form and by reading and by listening and all of this. If you want to, and you can go to the ministry's website, which is barnhouseministries.com, and just get on there, and you'll see it's all right there. So praise the Lord. Good study, huh? Amen. All right. Well, we're going to stop right there, and we'll get into our next study on the next one, and I hope you'll join us. I know you will. You've got no reason not to, and unless you just don't want to listen to me, and that's fine. I mean, a lot of people don't. It's not entertainment. It's just fellowship and learning around God's Word. We'll talk about scriptural words related to sin on our next one, okay? I appreciate you and admire you for honoring our Lord, and be assured that your sins are not going unnoticed. The Lord said that He knows about it. He knows what you sacrifice for Him and what you do. And the Lord said it's not in vain. And we know that. Our God takes such good care of us. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.